Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Okay, everybody, just like at church, I want you to grab your Bible and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 14. I've got my green Bible here with lots of ribbons. And I want you to grab your Bible, if it has ribbons or not, and join me as we talk together. I heard a story about a little boy that was very scared. He was in bed at night, and he cried out, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm scared." The father said, "Son, go back to sleep. Everything's fine." "Daddy, Daddy," he said, come to me now, my room." And the father said, "Now, son, God is with you." And the little boy shot back, "Right now I need someone with skin on." That's who Jesus is. Jesus is God with skin on. And in many ways, I feel like we're in sort of a collective nightmare in America and indeed around the world. We're like scared little children. And we need the light turned on. And we need the comforting, reassuring words of our Father in heaven, who is here with us. And here's what the Lord says to us in Isaiah 43, verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. When the coronavirus is spreading, you will be protected." Oh, wait, that's not in there, but it's implied, isn't it? Because God is bigger than what we're all facing right now. And here's a thought I want you to consider. The Christian is indestructible until God is done with them. You're indestructible. Now, what does that mean? It means you're going to live as long as God wants you to live, and he will protect you until that day. The Bible even says, though 1,000 may fall at your side, it will not come near you. If God still has a plan and a purpose for you or for me, we're going to continue on. There's a story in the book of Acts when the apostle Paul was shipwrecked. His boat came apart and the Bible says they were on boards going into the shore of a little island there. And I'm wondering, by the way, if one of them stood up, because if they did, that's the first case of surfing ever. Even before the guys over in Hawaii. So did Paul surf? Did Paul hang 10? I don't know. But they rode boards to the shore, just saying. Anyway, so they arrive at the shore. They're freezing. They're drenched. And they're warming themselves by this fire. And they're the people that live in the island. All of a sudden, a venomous snake fastens itself to Paul's arm. Paul's like, "Oh, venomous snake." Shakes it off, falls into the fire, and dies. All the people are waiting for Paul to die because it was a snake with venom that could kill him. But he just continued on because it wasn't his time. By the way, I've been bitten by a lot of snakes. I've been bitten by gopher snakes and king snakes and boas and pythons. Has anyone here ever been bitten by a snake? Anybody been bitten? I'm like the only person. What's with that? Well, it's because I collected snakes when I was a kid. I wanted to be, my goal in life at that point was to be a herpetologist. Then I upgraded it later to being a cartoonist. But I had this one snake, he was a little python. And whenever I would put my hand in the tank, they call it a terrarium, he would strike and bite. Every time, strike and bite, strike and bite. Other people would put their hand in there and they'd never bite him. I hated that snake, but anyway, he's long gone. But here's the point I'm trying to make to you. You're going to live as long as God wants you to live. There's an interesting passage in Mark 16, 18. It says they'll pick up snakes with their hands, and if they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Now, clearly this verse is not saying that we should have services where we hand rattlesnakes around, as I've heard it done. That's crazy. That's not trusting the Lord. That's testing the Lord. But what I'm saying is you're going to be around as long as God wants you around. So as God said to Abraham in Genesis 15, 1, "Do not be afraid, I will protect you." And that's great for us to know. But then you ask the question, well, Greg, what about that moment when death comes? Then death comes. But here's what the Bible says. To live is Christ, or to die is gain. Or as another translation puts it, living means living for Christ And dying is even better. Listen, nobody wants to die, but we are all going to die. But the reality is, as a Christian, we don't even have to fear death itself because God is greater even than that. So listen, I want to talk to you about how to deal with your fear, anxiety, and worry. And we all experience it, okay? I'm not exempted. Nobody is. So let's read a story from the Bible, Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to start at verse 22. Here's what we read. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And then he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. You might underline those words. I'll come back to them. And when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, so the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, by the way, that's the last part of the night right before the sun will rise. At the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Listen, that's us right now. We don't know where we are, but we're like in the middle of the sea, bobbing around. We don't know what's coming next. So what does Jesus do and say? We read that immediately Jesus said to them, "Be courageous and don't be afraid." Verse 28 of Matthew 14, and then Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you." Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water to go to Jesus. But look at verse 30. I'll come back to this. You might underline it. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, that's a King James word, the wind was wild. He saw the wind was strong. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he called out to Jesus, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Then they got back in the boat and they all said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Here's a few takeaway points for you. Number one, Jesus is with you in your storm, and he's watching you in your storm. We read in verse 23, he went by himself to a mountain to pray. And Mark adds the detail in Mark 6:48, commenting on the same story. When he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. So Jesus was watching them. And Jesus is watching you, not impassively, but with great interest and great concern. Though they lost sight of him, he never lost sight of them. You are not alone in your little storm right now. Some of you are with family. You're kind of hanging out together. You've had some great family time. You've had a little stress too. You've never been, you know, cramped up in that space for such a long period of time. But you know, some of you are alone. You're watching this on a cell phone or a tablet, and you don't have family. You don't have friends. I want you to know that Jesus is there for you. Jesus cares about you. And the Bible says that Jesus is interceding for you. Point number two, Jesus will come to us in our storms. In some ways, he comes to us in a way that maybe we notice more when we're in a storm. You know, when we have everything going on, the supermarket shelves are filled and there's movies to go see and restaurants to go eat at and things to go to, it's great. But things are different right now. And we're saying, where's Jesus? He's right here. How did Jesus come to them? He walked on the water. You know, Jesus is God. That means he could do whatever he wants. He could have flown in. If I were Jesus, I would have never walked anywhere. I'd have flown everywhere. I'd have said to the disciples, "We're going now to Jerusalem." And then I would say, "And how I go, you do not know." What does that mean? "I'll just meet you there. Don't worry about it." Then I would just flow in there and met him. "Hey, how's it going?" Jesus walked among us as a man. He ate food like we ate. He slept like we sleep. He felt human pain like we feel. He walked in our shoes. He lived our life. He died our death. But he came to them on the waves to show him that the thing they feared, the wind and the sea, was only a staircase for him to come to them. I heard a minister say the other day, chaos is never the evidence of God's absence. It's the arena in which he moves. So we're in chaos right now, aren't we? And we're saying, God's gone. God's not gone. This is the arena in which he moves. This is the opportunity for the church to step into the vacuum and help people. Maybe you know somebody that's elderly, like me, and maybe they need help. Maybe they need someone to go to the market for them. Maybe a neighbor needs a hand. You start talking to them. You start communicating. This is something we have not had before. It's a whole new time and a great opportunity for us to show the love of God. Well, the disciples are terrified. They think it's a ghost. Why didn't they know it was Jesus? Answer, because they weren't looking for him. And a lot of times we miss Jesus, not because he's absent, but because we're not looking for him. Sometimes in storms, we'll become more aware of his presence. Job put it this way, Job 42:5, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. So someone listening to me right now would say, yeah, I've heard about how God answers prayers, but now I see it. I've heard how God is close to people when they're facing hardship, but now I've personally experienced it, and you can experience that as well. So Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus says, come. And Peter is walking on the water. Let's give credit where credit is due. Nobody else volunteered to do this. Not James and John. Nobody else. Just Peter. And the Lord did say, come. But then what happened? Matthew 14:30, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. See, sometimes we're doing well, and then we look at the wind, and we begin to sink. We turn on the news, hear the latest report, hear the latest rumor about COVID-19, and it causes us to panic, and our hearts begin to sink. Peter sank because he was afraid. He sank because he took his eyes off Jesus. Because when fear reigns, faith is driven away. Fear and faith don't hang out together. Faith is either going to be there or fear is going to be there. But when one comes in, the other walks out. I heard a doctor say something I'd never heard before on the news. He said, quote, courage uses the same pathways as fear, end quote. So you can make a choice. You can be afraid. That's easy. Or you can be courageous. And that's what Jesus told them to do, to be courageous. But Peter sank because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And when we get our eyes off of Jesus, we're going to sink. When we forget God's promises to us, we're going to sink. Listen, I want to tell you what sustained Kathy and I and Jonathan, our son, through the darkest time of our life. It was when our oldest son, Christopher, at the age of 33, was killed in an automobile accident. It was devastating, and our whole life changed overnight. And unlike the way things are now, we could go out, you know, and we did. After, you know, a few days after we went out, we went into a restaurant, but, you know, the food seemed to have no flavor. And I would watch other people laughing and having a good time, and I'd resent it because I was in such deep pain. I couldn't escape the pain. No matter where I went, it was there with me. In fact, if I went to a place that I'd gone to previously with my son, I would have all these memories of our time together. So I want to tell you what got me through it, and I want to tell you what gets me through it, and I want to tell you what will get you through this storm. And it's not an it, it's a him. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that got me through. It's Jesus that gets me through. And it's listening to Jesus speaking to me from the word of God. Listen, we need to be together right now. I know we have to keep our social distance, but we can communicate virtually, texting, emailing, posting, using the phone. I saw a little video where an elderly woman was having like a 100th birthday, and her family gathered outside singing to her through the window. That was beautiful. But we need to be communicating. Let's reach out to one another. Make sure nobody is left alone, and keep your eyes on the Lord. Years ago, Jonathan was wanted to learn how to scuba dive. How old were you when that happened? Do you remember?
I think I was I was like 10 or 11 years old. I was just at the age where I could legally go and learn how to scuba dive.
Yeah, so we were on Maui. And we have a church on Maui, by the way. Hello, Harvest Kumalani. But anyway, we're on Maui, and I'm certified as a scuba diver. I was certified years ago, which means that I can dive when I want. I can go get tanks and such. But Jonathan wasn't certified, so we went through a training course all day long, and I said to the instructor, hey, when you guys go on the dive tomorrow, I'd like to go. He said, are you certified? I said, yes, I am. I have a PADI card, P-A-D-I, which means I can get the tanks. And so, but what happened is the next day comes and the weather went south and the boats were bobbing around. And I thought, oh man, I don't want to go out there because I hadn't dove for a long time. And so the dive instructor says, we're going to go. So we get on the boat and we go out and think about this. You're strapping on all this equipment. You have your BC vest, your inflatable vest. You have your very heavy scuba tanks. You have your regulator that you breathe through. You've got your fins, a weight belt. And then you sit on the edge of a boat like this and you hold onto your mask and you fall backwards. That's the last thing you want to do when you're strapping on all that weight. And we went in the water and we start to breathe and I started to freak out. I was scared. And I looked over at Jonathan. His eyes were as big as saucers. He was terrified. And I didn't want him to see. I was scared because I'm certified and I have a PADI card. So I was really scared. And I looked over at the instructor who turned to Jonathan and he said, Jonathan, look at me. And Jonathan looked at him and I'm looking at him too. And he said these words to Jonathan, remember your training. And Jonathan remembered, started to breathe. We went below the surface and everything was fine. So in the same way we start to panic in this storm, Jesus would effectively say, look at me. Look at me. Don't look at the wind. Don't look at the circumstances. Look at me and remember your training. Remember what you've learned in the Word of God. So what did Peter do as he began to sink? He called out to Jesus. Folks, if ever I've seen a wake-up call for America, I think we're seeing it right now. He's allowed this to happen. We don't know why. But America, Christian, it's time to pray. I'm not talking about a laid-back, casual prayer. I'm talking about a fervent, storm-the-gates-of-heaven type of prayer that calls out to God in desperation and urgency. We need God in America, and we need God to intervene and turn back what President Trump has called an invisible enemy. We need to pray for our scientists and those that are doing research to find some kind of cure for the coronavirus, something we can do. And I know they're working on it. We need to pray for our president, his task force, Vice President Pence, and all the others that are working tirelessly to help us through this national crisis. Call on the Lord. Here's what God says. Call on me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Here's another verse, a familiar one, but boy, does it fit right now. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Lord says, if my people, which are called by my name, listen now, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Those are the conditions. Now here comes a promise. God says, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. It's time to pray. It's time to turn from your sins too and call out to the Lord. Peter started to sink. What do we read? We read, immediately Jesus reached out and grabbed him. I'm talking to somebody now that needs to call out to the Lord. Somebody who is not sure that their sin is forgiven. You know, if you're not a believer right now, you can't do all the stuff you normally do, can you? You can't go to the bar. You can't party. Someone needs to let the kids in Florida know that, who are out on the beaches, by the way. But you can't do those things you normally do. You're alone. And some of you are very scared. But I want you to know something. God loves you. And God wants a relationship with you. And God isn't mad at you. God wants to show to you the wonderful plan he has for your life. Jesus Christ came to this earth, as I said earlier. He walked among us as a man. He breathed our air. He lived our life. And then he died our death. And then he rose again from the dead. And now he is ready to forgive you of your sin no matter what you've done. But you have to admit you're a sinner. You have to say, Lord, I know I've broken your commandments. I know I've fallen short of your standards. And Lord, I'm sorry. And then you must receive Jesus into your life. Becoming a Christian is not just reading a Bible. It's not just saying religious things. It's actually having Christ come and live inside of you. And here's my question to you as I close. Is Jesus living in your life right now? You might say, well, I'm not sure. Let me ask you a question. If a family moved into your house in the middle of the night and were cooking things in the early hours of the morning, do you think you would know? Of course you would. I'm not suggesting God is like that. I'm just saying if someone moved into your house, you would know. If Jesus is living inside of you, you will know. Let me flip that around. If you don't know that he's living inside of you, maybe it's because he isn't. You see, you're not born a Christian. You have to be born again, Jesus said. Being raised in a Christian family doesn't do it. Going to a church doesn't do it. You have to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe you're the Savior. And I ask you to come into my life right now and forgive me of all of my sin. He'll do that for you. And I think I'm talking to some prodigals out there right now. You haven't been to church for a while now, have you? But the good news is church has come to you. And even more, Jesus is here, ready to come into your life, ready to forgive you. So prodigal sons and daughters, why don't you come on home? We all know the story of the prodigal who ran away from home, lived in a distant land, blew all his inheritance that his dad gave to him, made a mess of his life. But one day he came to his senses and he said, I'm just going to go home and ask dad to hire me as a worker. But the Bible says, and by the way, Jesus told the story, while the boy was still a long ways away, the father saw him, ran to him, threw his arms around him, kissed him, and said, now my son is home. He who was dead is alive again. And that's how God feels toward you. God isn't mad at you. God is mad about you. And God loves you. And God will accept you as you are if you will come to him and ask his forgiveness. So everyone up here, I'm going to lead the folks out there that need Jesus in their life in a prayer. And I'm going to ask that as I pray this prayer, you guys would pray it after me, just like I'm going to ask folks watching right now to pray. So if you would like Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you would like to be forgiven of your sin, if you would like to know with certainty that you will go to heaven when you die, I want you to pray this prayer out loud even after me. Pray this prayer with me now. Pray these words. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for my sin. I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from it now. Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord and be my God. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.